Welcome to the Catholic Schools New South Wales Foundations for Learning podcast series, where we talk about the elements required to support children in the early years of their learning journey. I'd like to welcome Jenny Cohen. Jenny works at Catholic Schools New South Wales and is the State Manager for Wellbeing. Welcome, Jenny.
Good morning, Angela.
We're chatting today about wellbeing and the importance of wellbeing in a child's learning journey. Jenny, I'm going to start with a quote. It's from the World Health Organization, one you're very familiar with, and it describes mental wellbeing as a state in which an individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. Jenny, can you talk a little bit about that definition?
Yeah, sure. I guess from a school perspective, we call it social and emotional learning, so SEL. But wellbeing is really about not just the absence of illness or some sort of, you know, pathology. It's really a situation where an individual can reach their own potential so that they understand what their abilities are and that they can cope with daily stresses that are common to most people. When stresses appear, they can work through those things to try and problem solve so that they become quite productive members of the society in which they live.
And you spoke about social emotional learning. We can also talk about social emotional literacy, can't we?
Yeah, social emotional literacy is an interesting concept for some, because I think people think of literacy as being an academic sort of thing about reading and understanding.
Typically we think about literacy as reading, writing, ability to communicate. I mean, it's absolutely fundamental to a student's ability to learn and to engage in society, but specifically social emotional literacy I'm interested in.
Okay, so social and emotional literacy, I guess, is understanding how to identify and manage your emotions. And that helps a young person think about goal setting, how to achieve those goals. It also helps them learn to empathise with other people so they can establish and maintain really positive relationships and make responsible decisions. And I think research shows us that young people or adults that have good social and emotional literacy themselves have better mental health and better life outcomes.
So skills like self-regulation, managing conflict, resilience all bundle up into social emotional literacy?
In the new PDHPE curriculum, I can see they refer to them as being social competencies. So yeah, self-regulation, can I identify how I'm feeling and then how do I manage that feeling without, say, interfering negatively with someone else? And then how do I manage my relationships with other people?
They're incredibly important skills that we know we need in our adult life, and building those foundations in the early years of a child's learning journey in a child's life is paramount. Is there any research to support this, Jenny?
Yeah, there is, Angela. There's quite a bit. There was a recent study done where researchers explored actually the long-term effects of social and emotional learning from children from 6 months to 18 years. And I think this is a really significant piece of research. What it actually showed was that young people in schools or where parents explicitly taught them social and emotional skills, they showed stronger emotional resilience, more confident attitudes towards people and themselves, more pro-social behaviours, and they had better academic outcomes than their peers that had not engaged in explicit SEL programs. So I think obviously the implication for schools and for parents is that teaching kids SEL is absolutely vital in terms of development and better mental health and life outcomes.
So what are some of the ways we can teach and support children in this social emotional literacy, or I should say SEL? It's a lot easier to say.
Mm-hmm. I think probably one of the most obvious ways to do it is through storytelling. So in the same way children learn through play and learn to experience themselves in the world, so too do we know they learn through stories. There's a lot of research that supports the power of stories as a means of teaching social and emotional learning skills, I guess basically for three reasons. One, because our brains are actually wired to think in narratives. They make sense to us and they make sense to small people. Two, stories have been shown to be more effective when communicating facts to people, communicating information as opposed to, say, facts, particularly to young kids. And probably the third reason is that literary fiction increases theory of mind, or the ability for a person to understand someone else's perspective. And the beauty of that is when you want to teach a young person social and emotional literacy, not only do you want them to identify their own feelings, but you need them to learn to identify feelings in other people so they learn empathy. Mm. And that's the basis of any kind of, you know, positive and productive communication. So I guess really using a story whereby even in a school setting a teacher could tell a story and then maybe ask kids, how did a particular character feel in that situation? Why did they feel like that? Have you ever felt like that? So you could use the character as a catalyst. But I think for young kids that's a really good way to start demonstrating feelings and social literacy.
Jenny, you mentioned the word empathy, and I'd like to pick up on the word empathy. I associate empathy with kindness. And I know as a teacher myself, kindness was always, every day, a topic of conversation, particularly after play breaks. And, you know, we adopted strategies like the kindness tree, and let's see how many, you know, ribbons we can tie to the kindness tree when we're kind. Can you talk a little bit about the association between kindness and empathy?
Yeah, there's actually a really interesting study from Yale University which looks at kindness and empathy. And the research shows that helping others actually dampens or negates the effect of everyday stress on ourselves, so that in doing something for someone else, it actually increases your mental health and strengthens your immune system. So even for a young child, something as simple as sharing a toy or smiling, a small act of kindness, can have a positive effect on their mental health and well-being.
And again, critical skills for our adult life that begin at the age of zero. We begin learning at the age of zero.
Absolutely.
So we know how critical these skills are, and in building them in those foundational early years. What are some of the ways teachers and families can support children in developing CEL?
Well, I guess some of the most basic strategies that are absolutely proven to work would be things to do with managing your emotions. So, for example, a feelings chart, having faces that are maybe happy, sad, mad, confused, allows young people to recognise what a feeling looks like, and then what you want them to do is recognise feelings in themselves. So I think feelings chart is really good, whether it's in the classroom or at home on a fridge. That's a very simple way for an adult to really engage with a young person. Also modelling or acknowledging your own feelings, so that if you are upset, it's okay to say, oh, I'm upset because kids learn, obviously, clearly through modelling. Anger's another one that sometimes I think we want to steer away from if we feel a young child's behaviour is not acceptable. However, helping kids recognise that they are angry is actually a fantastic thing for parents to do, but then redirecting them into something that helps them manage those feelings. So one of the other things would be trying to link the fact that your body gives you signs. So whether you might have like a little outline of a body and get kids to colour in. When they feel sad, where is it in their body they feel sad? Where do they feel happy? Basic things like that. So through storytelling and focusing in on feelings or situations of characters, through things like, I said, feelings charts, and basically just conversations about where we coach kids so they understand maybe if they've got a tummy ache. Have they really got a tummy ache, or are they maybe worried? Is their body giving them a sign that they might be worried?
There's some great simple tools there. And reflecting back on my teacher practice again, I mean, just timetabling into the day some little moments, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, just to even have a conversation with the children about social and emotional learning or literacy. I quite often after lunch would just spend a time of mindfulness, which helps children to reflect back on their lunchtime play or things that they, you know, their interactions throughout the day.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's such fantastic practice, Angela, to do that. And I think as adults, we know in the stresses of everyday life, if we can just sit down, relax for a minute, sort of take stock of ourselves in a situation, you often feel a lot better. So it just stands to reason that little people need to do exactly the same thing. And if I can make a comment that I think is another reason why it's so important in the early years to teach kids social emotional literacy. We live in the most connected generation that's ever existed. Kids are online a lot of the time, but this is also the most depressed and anxious generation that's ever existed before.
Wow.
And a lot of it is because kids can't communicate to adults how they're actually feeling about things, and they don't know how to manage those feelings. So really, from that perspective, without social and emotional literacy, I don't know how you end up having good academic literacy. Because really they go hand in hand. If you want to end up having the best job that you can have or the best relationships that you can be in, CEL is just so important.
Jenny, that's a really incredibly important point. Getting back to books, do you have any book recommendations?
I actually do. Probably any book that talks about, even a book called I Am Sad, I Am Happy, I Am Mad, fantastic, because it's literally looking at feelings. I have a fantastic book, though, called The Mouse, the Monster and Me by Pat Palmer that talks about how everyone can be shy and scared like a mouse, how everyone can be like angry and stomping around like a monster, but everyone is themselves. And I think that's an amazing book to help kids what we call identify and externalize how they're feeling. So that would probably be my number one pick for teachers, drama teachers, and probably parents as well.
That reminds me of Giraffes Can't Dance, which is a fantastic book about children being themselves and being confident in the different skills and attributes that they bring to life. I love that book. Also, The Heart and the Bottle by Oliver Jeffers, which is actually featured in one of our videos on the Foundations for Learning website. And just this book just demonstrates what happens to us when we bottle up our hearts, and that it's really important to have an open heart so that we can express our emotions and feelings. And another recommendation, the Nick Bland series, The Very Cranky Bear and The Very Brave Bear. Thank you so much, Jenny. As we've explored today, wellbeing for learning really underpins and is foundational for a child's success in their learning journey. We've also discussed and explored further that literacy is so much more than reading and writing, and that we must have social and emotional literacy to succeed. So thank you for sharing your font of knowledge with us today.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you for listening. Please visit csnsw.catholic.edu.au/foundationsforlearning. You'll find there more topics about the early years and building the foundations for learning.